Again, we've come from a wide spectrum of backgrounds and experiences, but it's Jesus, his love, his grace, his mercy that brings us together in common worship and fellowship here this morning. We are thankful that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we find our forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life from him. But here in our Sunday mornings, we've also been going through a series, or beginning to go through a series, looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there's so many different topics, so many different aspects we're going to look at in these coming weeks. But regardless of what particular approach we're looking at, we realize that the Holy Spirit is here to fill us, to help us grow spiritually, to live in close relationship with the Lord. I was just thinking here yesterday that in the book of Revelation, several times in the first few chapters, it refers to the God who was and who is to come. Simultaneously, he is the God of the past, the present, and the future. And his Spirit is here amongst us to live in us. Here at the Westlaw Gospel Chapel, we have a wide diversity and spectrum of our practice of being able to serve the Lord and honor him. But I want to thank you this morning again for allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your lives, that we might keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago. I trust that again you have brought some fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, to share with people around you, to share the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, and so on, so that together we can honor him. But this morning I want to continue to look at an aspect of the Holy Spirit that touches my heart. And so if we can have this first slide here. For those of you who are here with us this morning, we're looking at some slides together and some scriptures. I have mostly verses here of the Bible we're going to look at. But if you're listening online to this message now at some point, later point, I want to let everyone here and those who are listening know that our heart's desire at the Gospel Chapel is that you would be able to live and experience the reality of Christ's love and of his Spirit in your life. And that in no way are we wanting to judge anyone, nor are we wanting to put people in boxes of our perhaps own experiences, but to realize that the Holy Spirit moves and works. I'm reminded of the verse in John chapter 3 where Jesus said that the wind blows wherever it wishes. We don't see it, but we feel the reality of the wind. We see it. We see the wind outside. Right now I can see some leaves blowing out there. I can't see the wind, but I can see its effect. The same as the Holy Spirit. He is working in our hearts and our lives. And so I want to look at this message this morning. I've called it Hope and Attention. Hope and Attention. Let's have a look at God's Word. So, we've started this series by looking at John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And just for review, John chapter 14, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." No matter how you feel this morning, you may feel alone, you may feel troubled, you may feel distressed, you may feel in grief. But I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you, comfort you, encourage you, and lead you into truth. He is here. Now we know that the experience of people, our own experience, can have a lot of ups and downs. And I want to look at that story this morning of the ups and downs of the followers of Jesus as they saw him crucified, put on trial, and then crucified in a cruel Roman way on the cross, how that devastated them, and then they saw him laid in the tomb and buried. So I want to look at some of those verses this morning. As we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, we're going to juggle back and forth between the book of Luke and the book of Acts, pulling out some points that are helpful, I trust, for you this morning to recognize how the Holy Spirit, how he moves and works in our hearts and lives. And so, picking up your Bibles, I encourage you, if you brought your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke with me. And you need to be familiar with the Scriptures and how to use your own Bible even to share these truths with someone else. But picking it up in Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Jesus has been nailed to the cross. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Just picture with me, if you could be there. You had lived, traveled, watched the Lord Jesus minister to people, teach the gospel of the kingdom of God, loving, caring, healing, feeding, ministering to people, and now all of a sudden, in just the space of a few hours, everything goes sideways as Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, put on trial, and then the next day dragged out to Calvary and nailed to the cross. And as they watched him there, they saw him breathe his last as his spirit left his body and he died. Jesus. They did not expect that to happen. They did not expect this was how the story was going to go. It made no sense at all. Well, we know the story goes on, that they took Jesus' body down off the cross. It was wrapped in linen, laid in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. Jesus died. They saw him buried. They saw the place where they laid him in the tomb. But then in their grief and in their confusion, on the third day, the ladies went out to the tomb to go finish the burial process there. And it says in Luke chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. Try to picture that accumulation of grief, despair, and now absolute fear. His body is gone. Someone has taken the body of Jesus. He's not here. But then add to that the announcement right away of angels standing there, and they say to these ladies, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." I want you to notice what the angel said next. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still with you in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. They had no idea what that really meant when Jesus spoke those words. But now the angels are saying, remember what he said. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He told us that. I remember him saying that now. I remember it. I didn't really get it. I don't know what he was talking about then, but now it's come to pass just like he said. They remembered his words. Then we're also told in that same chapter in Luke that two men who were from the town of Emmaus, a few miles away. They had been there. They had seen this. They had heard the news and the story, but they decided to head back home. And they're walking back home to Emmaus, and a third person comes and walks along with them. I'm not going to read the story for the sake of time, but Jesus shows up. They don't recognize him, but he begins to talk with them and commune with them. And it says here, then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to do what? To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And the Bible tells us that after Jesus disappeared from those, the home where those two men were, they said, did our hearts not burn within us when he spoke to us, when he taught us? They were beginning to see and understand what Jesus had meant. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Well, they get up, and now they rush back to Jerusalem, back to the upper room, and there they meet with the followers of Jesus, and they're describing, trying to explain what they've just seen and heard. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Back to Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Jesus is there in the room with them, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He's referring back to all those things that had been spoken about him. And what did he do? He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Why was that so essential? It's because none of this made sense until they really put the pieces together of all that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, all the pictures and the illustrations and what Jesus said. It would not make sense until they knew and put those pieces of the scripture together. And what did he do? He granted that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, I want to share something here. John, the Apostle John, was in the same room with these people. He was part of what was going on there too. And his explanation of what Jesus did is very interesting. So just for a moment, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. This is John's understanding of it as Jesus shows up in the room with them in the evening of the resurrection. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So this is John's perspective. He said, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The previous slide, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I would like to present to you today that this was one and the same thing. As Jesus breathed on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, the key manifestation of that was all of a sudden the lights went on. Scripture made sense. All the dots started to coming together. This is why he suffered and died. They began to realize that there was something significant had happened, and Jesus' mission begins to make sense. They start thinking back to the stuff that they had seen in the last 3 years. Maybe there were some of them there who were there the day that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And for some strange reason, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They would have had no idea what John was talking about. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But now, after having the Holy Spirit breathed on them and their understanding opened, and having seen Jesus crucified, buried, and risen from the dead, all of a sudden what John the Baptist said makes sense. Behold, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And with that would have come a flood of recognition of lots of different illustrations in the scriptures in the Old Testament. I've just got three real quick here. Genesis chapter 2, Abraham offers his son Isaac preparing to take him and sacrifice him at the command of God, a very strange thing we don't totally understand. But Abraham was obedient. And as they're going to the up to the mountain, Isaac asked, where's our sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Ah, yes, God did provide. He provided a ram that was caught in the bushes. Instead of Isaac being killed, the ram was killed. God provided a substitute for us. How about Exodus 12? This was the 10th plague as the people of Israel were preparing to leave the promised land. And what did they do on that night of the Passover? Each family had to sacrifice a lamb, take its blood, put a streak of blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, and that was a sign that they were obedient to God's command and to God's direction for them. And when the angel came to the land, he passed over every home that had that blood. Wait a minute. The lamb died so that the firstborn son could live. The Holy Spirit was likely pulling together many, many of these prophecies for these people that very night as he breathed on them that they might understand the scriptures. And then, of course, there's that wonderful passage in Isaiah 53. It talks about the suffering Savior. And just that one verse 7 even, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But it didn't end there. After that night of the resurrection, the scriptures tell us, as we go on to the book of Acts, that Jesus spent 40 days communing with them. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Here's a thought I present to you that just came to me as I was studying these passages this week. For those 40 days, those disciples of Jesus who were in the upper room meeting together for 40 days, they had the presence, the very resurrected presence of Jesus showing up with them and the Holy Spirit speaking to them at the same time. They had the witness of what their eyes were seeing and their ears were hearing and their hearts burning with the truth of God's word and what Jesus had come to do. For 40 days, he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know that this was amazing time for them of revelation, of understanding, of remembering, of pulling all these pieces together. Now, it's interesting. Years later, the Apostle Peter, who would have been here in this group meeting every day with these disciples, in his own writings, in his epistle, he gives us actually clearer understanding of what they were learning as they went along. You remember Peter, when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now, after Jesus' death and resurrection, after the Holy Spirit coming and opening their understanding, and after many years of studying and preaching and teaching, here's some of the things that Peter clearly recognized. He said, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter understood Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He also said that he, Christ, might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And finally, Peter understood that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, the work of the Holy Spirit, breathing on you, opening your understanding to the Scriptures, is essential and God's gift that you might understand your need of the Savior. that you might understand the love of God, that you might understand he died on the cross for your sins so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have the gift of eternal life. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus in a personal way as your Savior, as your Lord, I invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken your understanding of the Scriptures. These truths that we're teaching here are for you so that you can be saved from your sin and have the gift of life. It's a gift for every one of you. All you need to do is just open your heart to the Lord and say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place as the lamb that was sacrificed so that I might live. Thank you for paying the price for me that I might have eternal life. It's an act of faith, simple, humble, but it's what God invites every single one of us to. And for those listening to this message right now on the internet, God has not missed you either. God loves you. You may be searching for truth and for spiritual experience in so many ways, but the place where you will find forgiveness, hope, and healing is in Jesus. Jesus alone. Now, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus was not finished that evening and those 40 days because there was a task laid ahead of them. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, it says, Then Jesus said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Here is a topic that I know has a variety of understandings of God's word, understandings of what the Bible says. But I want to present to you this morning that even though in the upper room Jesus breathed on them that they might comprehend the Scriptures, breathed on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit so that they could be saved, Jesus said to them, but there's a task ahead of you that you will need more of the Holy Spirit for. You will need more of his power, more of his anointing. So even though you've received the Spirit to understand, wait, because there's a greater task ahead yet. Now we know that the task is clearly laid out for us. We're very familiar with it from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission is a huge task. It's a wonderful opportunity, and the message needs to go out. And so, again, when we jump over to the book of Acts, the beginning of Acts, the same sort of scenario. It's the same waiting on the Lord, 40 days in the upper room, Jesus teaching them and showing with many infallible proofs and so on. Jesus said to them again there, it's recorded, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The word baptize is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's baptizo. And it specifically means to be immersed, submerged, made fully wet. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You shall be immersed in the Spirit. You shall be covered in the Holy Spirit. Things are about to change. And in the book of Acts, same chapter, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The word power is dunamis. We know what that word is about. It's the word we get the word dynamite from. Dynamite. You shall receive explosive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We know that on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, mighty things happened. But before we get to that, I want to share with you this thought. There's a little bit side illustration here. Marketing. Marketing a product or a service has several steps to it. I should probably have just enough here teaching this, but very simple, as I was looking at this on the internet the other day, if you want to market a product or a service to someone, there's three steps that you can take. First of all, find out what are the core needs of your customer base. What are their core needs? I got thinking in town here, if there was a business that I think would be a great business that could minister to the core needs of people, is water pure and simple. I mean, what a great business for the base need of human beings. Water. Water. I worked for a safety supply company for 9 years, servicing fire extinguishers. Guess what? Most people do not think fire extinguishers are a core need. It was hard servicing and repairing and selling fire extinguishers because it's a need that nobody's thinking about. But what about water? So marketing, find the core need. Then develop your product with features that will meet the need of individuals. But if you really want to share the market, you've got to augment the value of your product so that it stands out better than your competitors. I got thinking about it. How many of you have a smartphone right here? I'm sure most of you do. Don't look at it. Most of us have a smartphone. What's the core need we have because of our smartphone? What's the core need? Communication. Exactly. I want to be able to phone people. I want to be able to text people. I want to be able to probably email people. That's the core need, right? That's the core need. Yet, the designer of this little tool has all kinds of features added to it, right? But they're all quite similar amongst smartphones. Until companies try to augment their particular product in a way that encourages you to buy this one. What are some of the augmented values that helped you decide which smartphone you were going to buy? Can you think of any? Ah, the camera. Yes. Oh, I've got to have a really good camera. Okay, that's an augmented value. That's way beyond the core need, but camera. What else? What convinced you to buy the smartphone you have? The price. Yes. The price often sets apart yours from a competitor. You see, there's a core need. There's the actual product and features, and then there's the augmented value that will convince you to buy this particular phone. Well, I say that to say this. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, something mighty happened in the lives of each one of these followers, even as they had already understood the scriptures and were understanding Jesus as their Savior, understanding he was the Lamb of God. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And lives were changed. Without going through that whole chapter 2 too deeply, we know that Peter, recently very fearful, even denying Jesus, he stands up and he boldly preaches to the crowd. And as he's preaching, people's hearts are stirred. They are convicted. Ah, we were the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross. What shall we do? And Peter says, repent, be baptized. He's filled with the Spirit. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And those who gladly received the word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added. Something was dynamically happening in the lives of these people by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And so, after the day of Pentecost, we know that by God's Spirit, a new community was born. The church, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about the fruit of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. It tells us they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. But as the story goes on, every chance that Peter had and the apostles had, they were bold in declaring the truth to people about their need for the Lord. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, he has now become the chief cornerstone. And this one, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. How many smartphones do we have? How many varieties do we have? How many features can we look at? How much augmented value and the price and all those details have convinced us to pick one phone out of a myriad of others? But when it comes to salvation, how many choices do we have? One. There is salvation in no other name but the Lord Jesus. Now here is what I want to get to the point at this morning. How will the world be convinced to make that one choice? How will you be the salesman, the marketing agent, who will take the gospel of the Lord Jesus to a world that thinks they have a plethora of choices? How will they be convinced that there is only one way to life in Christ? I want to present to you, it is by the overflowing presence and work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us that augments the story of the gospel, the message of salvation, that augments the reality of God's presence here amongst us, that will get people's attention, that this is unique. The message of the gospel and life in Christ is a unique message to the rest of the world, because we know that the Holy Spirit was at work in people's lives. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Next chapter says, and all the people saw this lame man that had been healed, walking and praising God. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And all the people ran together, greatly amazed at what was going on. We find in Acts chapter 5, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And I'm assuming when that happened, they were healed. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Brothers and sisters, we have a world that is searching for reality and truth. They are searching for an understanding of the spirit realm and of the reality. Is there a God? Can I experience in him? And I want to share with you this morning that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the core needs of people. The gospel of Jesus Christ speaks to the truth that we are alienated from God, separated from him because of our sin, that we have been deceived by our own thinking, by our own understanding, by the devil's schemes and lies, but worst of all, judgment awaits us. If we die in our sin, we will pay the price for our sin, which is eternal separation from God. What do people need to be able to understand the truth of that scripture? Understand the truth. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But what happens if people aren't even in touch with their core need? They're distant from the Lord. What happens? Well, we need to realize that the gospel message is a message that speaks hope and life to people. The gospel message is like the product that we can share with people that offers forgiveness, justification, reconciliation, truth, and eternal life. Hallelujah. But what happens if they still won't believe? What happens if people don't pay attention and are thinking that there's nothing in this, that the church has nothing to offer? I want to share with this. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to augment the value of the gospel to meet people's felt needs where they are right now. So that it's more than just forgiveness and eternal life. God wants people to know that he knows their address and he knows their hurts and their pains, and he wants to touch them where they're at right now. With things like knowing that God can come and transform our lives now, and life begins to make sense and gives us purpose. That there's Christian community that we can invite into, a community like no other community, where God can take us, such a wide variety of people and tribes and races and even languages, and bring us together in amazing unity to the glory of God. That there's healing, healing for our physical bodies, healing for our minds, healing for our broken hearts, healing for our broken relationships. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you where you live. But not just you. The Holy Spirit wants to touch people in our community. He wants to cleanse us. The Holy Spirit will cleanse us in the name of Jesus from demonic attacks, from demonic temptations, from demonic control. The Holy Spirit wants to come and set us free from addictions, substance abuse, pornography addictions. He wants to meet us where we are at right now so that we can recognize that God is alive. He invites us into partnership with him. Our time is just about gone here. But in my heart, as I've been praying, studying, meditating on these scriptures, I am so thankful for the breath of the Holy Spirit. Understand the word. Receive the message of life and forgiveness. I am so thankful for that. But brothers and sisters, as we receive that gift of life, Jesus says to us, now take it to the world. Take it to the world. And take it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. I'm beginning to think and begin to formulate in my mind and in my prayers that no matter where we walk, no matter what building we walk into, no matter what store or business or school we walk into, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit is already ahead of you. He has been speaking to people. He has been convicting people. He has been causing restlessness in people's hearts and lives. And all we need to do is journey with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak to people as the Holy Spirit gives us direction. And it might be something simple as, can I pray for you? Can I pray that God touches you? Can I pray that you'll be healed? Can I pray that you'll feel the Lord's mercy and your grace? All with the purpose of helping people realize that God knows you and loves you and invites you to come to him by faith. I am not trying to create any kind of box that we must all fit into. But what I'm trying to do this day is encourage you, there's always more in the Holy Spirit. There's more. Here's my last thought. I bought this phone a few years ago. What, a Samsung S21 or something. Yeah, exactly. I bought this phone a few years ago, and you know what? There's already new models, isn't there? There's new models. This phone is already old. It's already been banged and dropped. It's got a few chips and cracks in it. And I could be so likely to start despising this phone because it's no longer new. No longer new because there's a newer model. Brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of forgiveness, salvation, and deliverance is never meant to grow old. If the gospel is now becoming humdrum to you, do you know what you need? A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. A fresh baptism of what makes the gospel so exciting and so powerful and so enabling for us to go and touch people's lives with it. Our time is gone. I'd like to invite the worship team to come. But as you consider these passages this morning and the invitation to be filled with the Spirit, please, please open your heart and ask the Lord for more of Him. And then begin to expect that God can lead you into situations and in people's lives where there will be augmented value to the basic gospel message that touches people's needs right where they're at. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in that. We're going to sing a